Matthew 6:10a, that thy kingdom come. And let's pray before we dive in. Father, thank you for your blessings today. Thank you for all the God sightings that we heard about tonight. Thank you for the great work that you're doing in our midst. Father, bind that wicked devil because he doesn't like it. We pray that you'd help us to be careful, help us to trust and depend in you, and to continue to see you doing great things in hearts and lives. Father, we ask for your blessing and your help tonight, and I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me for this message. I'm trusting and depending in you to bring it, not myself. I want to hear from God tonight, and we pray for your guidance and your direction. You bring it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, and we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. And we have looked at verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come tonight to the next three words, thy kingdom come. Three words, thy kingdom come. What does that mean? A lot more than I realized. We began with our Father, which art in heaven, providing us with the foundational awareness with which all prayer should be offered. We start our prayers to our Father. He is our Father. He's our Father. He is our Abba Father, our dearest Father. And healthy, God-pleasing prayers begin that way. Then the foundational petition, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name as our Father, Abba Father. This pleases the Lord. Now we take up tonight the second petition, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. The proper hallowing of God's name as Father includes praying that His kingdom will come and that His will be done. And we'll be getting to that. Prayer for the kingdom is to be a part of our pattern of prayer. We need to be praying, even so, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. And I think we have more ambition about that right now than we've ever had before. And we need to do that. And over the years, there have been various interpretations to what does this mean, thy kingdom come. I'm going to give you three thoughts that people have come up with over the years. Some people believe that thy kingdom come is all about the second coming of Christ, and that's it. They stop there. Others believe it is a call to social action. Still others believe it is about the salvation of souls. Now, actually, the correct interpretation and application contains elements of all three of those views. And we're going to look at all three of those views. The first two we're going to look at rather quickly. The first point, thy kingdom come, recognizes the past. Thy kingdom come recognizes the past. When we pray thy kingdom come, we are not suggesting that God has not been or not presently reigning as sovereign God, King, and Lord. He is, and He has in the past. So we want to clear that up. God is already King, and His kingdom spans the entire universe. And all you got to do is get caught in a storm, and you'll recognize the power of Almighty God in His universe. Thy kingdom come is a call for a new and unique manifestation of His kingdom in the future. That brings us to point number two. Thy kingdom come recognizes the future. Recognizes the future. Though God is already King, His reign is also going to be in the future. He has been reigning. He is reigning. He's going to reign. Now, the verb come in these three words. Thy kingdom come. Take that word all by itself. It refers to a decisive time in the future when thy kingdom come will come once and for all. It's an event that's going to be one time and one time only. This event is the second advent of Christ when he will return and he will judge and he will set up his eternal kingdom. Thy kingdom come is a prayer for the final kingdom when under Christ's rule our evil hearts will be purified, our lying and deceit, our distrust and our shame will be banished forever. Our mental institutions and our prisons will go away. They will not exist anymore. And all of our words and actions and everything we do will be done to the honor and the glory of God. Now, men and women have longed for this ever since the fall. I believe men and women today are longing for this more than 20 years ago. Some of us yearn for the time when all is going to be righteousness and nothing else. Isn't that going to be sweet? That is going to be so wonderful. Now the worldlings look at that and they'll say, well, you know what that is? That's a utopia. A utopia, an impossible dream. But the coming advent of the kingdom of God is no pipe dream. It is a fact. And it is as sure a fact as any fact of history. Thy kingdom is coming. And it's not going to be stopped. Doesn't matter who they are or what they think or what they do. Thy kingdom come is to be a part of the ground and the foundation of our prayers. Even so, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. But in the meantime, we'll move to point number three, which is where we're going to hang out till the end now tonight. Because now we're looking at thy kingdom come recognizes the present. And we need to be concerned about the present. And we are, as we have heard here tonight. When Jesus was here on earth, his passion was what? He was always talking about the kingdom. He was always talking about the kingdom. 49 times he says it in Matthew, 16 in Mark, and 38 in Luke. 103 times in the first three Gospels, he's talking about the kingdom. His passion was for the kingdom. And he died on the cross so that we could be in the kingdom. Yeah. So Jesus brings a kingdom by bringing people into obedient conformity to the Father's will. And those in God's kingdom strive to do the will of God. And not only do they strive to do it, they do it. We do it. Not perfectly, but we do it. As we strive to do that. Now this makes the kingdom very personal for us for several reasons. Number one, our will wants to go its own selfish way. I could use Rob's example tonight. I've had the same thoughts. Not this year, but in years gone by. Oh man. How can I get out of this tonight? And you know what? You come anyway, and you, just like he said, it's the greatest night you've ever had. Why? Because you did the will of God. You might have done it kicking and screaming, but you did it. You might have done it trying to get out of it, but you did it. Our will wants to go its own way. But being kingdom children, the Holy Spirit works in us and we start to get focused and bent on doing the will of the Father as we walk with Him. We do not always just do what we want, but we do what God wants. And I believe the more we get in tune with the Lord, the more we're going to do His will. The more we walk with Him, the more we're going to do it. We repent and we head towards kingdom living. So to pray thy kingdom come is to repent. And we've done that. We've been saved. Number two, this prayer demands commitment. It demands commitment. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. We sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. That is no little kiddie song. That is a commitment song. And when we sing it, we better mean it. You remember the preacher from England? What's his name? Spurgeon. He wouldn't let his people sing some of the verses of hymns because he said, they don't mean it. They're not singing it. We got to mean that. It's commitment. This prayer demands commitment. So to pray thy kingdom come is to commit ourselves to God. Third, the kingdom is to be pursued above all else. The kingdom of God is to be pursued. We're to get after it. Matthew 6:33 says what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all this other stuff you want will be added unto you. So get the kingdom in front. Get it way out there in front. The kingdom. So now what does that mean? Well, that means that Christianity, our Christian life, is not this easygoing, do-nothing, armchair, remote in hand Christianity. It's not that at all. To pray thy kingdom come is to pursue it. Then fourth, the kingdom of God is for those who have a profound dependence on God. Now there's a point we've been parking on a lot in this church. Dependence on God. That's what you call faith. Faith is trust and dependence on God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, we looked at. Blessed are the beggarly poor in spirit. And we saw what that meant, for theirs alone is the kingdom of heaven. Right? No one has the kingdom except for those who have come to the end of themselves and have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praying thy kingdom come demands a deep commitment. And that commitment produces a life that makes a difference. That's what we're to be. We're to make a difference. In our community. In our relationships. And what's going to happen? Lives are going to be influenced for Jesus Christ. And some of those lives are going to get saved and they're going to get changed and they're going to be added to the church. And they're going to start praying this prayer, and on it goes. To pray thy kingdom come is a commitment to live out the Beatitudes and the ethics of the Sermon on the Mount in dependence on God. Because we've made this statement a lot, you're never going to do it on your own. If you don't depend on God, it's not happening. You can try all you want to do it in the flesh, it's not happening. So as we pray, thy kingdom come, then the power comes. You depend on God and the power comes. And you start seeing things happen you never could believe before. That would be kingdom living now. A poverty of spirit, mourning over sin, humility that springs out of attitudes and actions, thirsting after righteousness, having a merciful and forgiving spirit, getting involved in the society, even if it means getting persecuted. Kingdom living produces. It makes a difference. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we pray for three things. Number one, we pray for the final and ultimate establishment of the kingdom of God. Second, we pray that we will be conformed to the will of God in this world. And third, we pray that God's rule will come to those people out there through us. Thy kingdom come. And Tuesday nights, it just might come to some folks. That's what it's about. Now, when we throw all that together, this is a big prayer that is dependent on a big God. And when truly prayed, it makes for us a big life. Now, say, "Well, we can never walk on." Oh, yes, you can walk on air. Oh, yes, you can. Thy kingdom come, and mean it. So the question we'll leave with our with us tonight: are you willing to really pray that? Thy kingdom come. And the second question is: are you a big Godder or a little Godder? We've talked about that before. Are you a big Godder or are you a little Godder? Do you believe, really, that God can start just saving piles of people through this church? Do you really believe that we can expand our outreach? Let's pray about that. Thy kingdom come. God wants it to happen. And He's looking for a group of people who are going to pray, really pray, "Thy kingdom come." Let us be those people here tonight. Let us pray.